Live from the apocalypse, one of the few hip-hop podcasts that didn't start to make friends. It's Stay in the Game. Thank you. The friends we've made along the way have been amazing, but that is that we were not here like, man, I want to get popular. We were already doing fun. So my host was killing. Smash. So I am Dano. I am here. Feeling good, feeling great. Not sick anymore. I was intensely sick during the Monzi the terrible interview.
Yeah.
Want to go back and check that.
Yeah, there's something going around.
Yeah. So I navigated my way through that. But I just appreciate it and joined every week. The spirit of Carl Weathers continues in my co-host K Diggy. RIP. Yeah. Dude, handle that torch. So I am so excited to have the guest we have. I was talking to somebody really intelligent, rapper and producer, and the person was like, man, I'm listening to a bunch of street shit. I'm listening to all this street shit now. And I was like, I'm never far from street shit. Because it's the only kind of music, rap music, that's as hungry to succeed as I am. And I said, that's why I'm listening to Shoddy. Like, all January has been Shoddy. Like, my second favorite release of January. Nothing changed except everything. And yeah, it's music that is as hungry and focused as I want to be during the day. So I appreciate you for providing that.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, man, that to me, that's music to my ears, bro. Because, me and Tev, Tev's my main producer. You know what I'm saying? Who I usually work with. Even when I'm working with other producers, I always kind of run everything through Tev. Like, that's the homie. We've been making music for a long time. And about a year ago, like, we kind of took stock of the shit that we were making. And that's one of the things we said. It's like, bro, we make motivation music. You know what I mean? And this is not like we don't set out to do this. We kind of do the music and then we're like, okay, what is it that we're saying here? You know what I'm saying? And that's what we landed on. Like, bro, I think like the shit that we do is really, we're trying to empower people, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're trying to empower, you're trying to motivate people. And it's like, bro, in life, you got to get up, get out and get it, bro. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of like, that's been our focal point since we came back into this rap shit.
Yeah. No, it's and you released a bunch of projects in 2023 to really get back into this. Goat Farm with the aforementioned Tev 95, Stigmatic, Death Occurred Last Night, and now Nothing Changed Except Everything in January. And so it's been a busy a busy schedule here. Now, I'm going to go off topic in the beginning because I have to know this. I have to know if you made the greatest Lucky Number Slevin rap song ever. Is Kansas City Shuffle about is that related in any way to Lucky Number Slevin?
You know, that wasn't even the original name for the song. And it was my man Divino. I understand the reference, you know what I'm saying? But it was my man Divino that was like, bro, we should name the song Kansas City Shuffle. And then we did the Lucky Number Slevin. I think the cover of the single is from the movie too, you know what I'm saying?
I believe so.
So yeah, bro, that it wasn't intentional, but it's one of those things that it just landed right, you know?
Bug me up. We watched Lucky Number Slevin a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was a week ago, and I didn't have it, and I was doing this research, and just clicked for me. I'm like, is this fucking Lucky Number Slevin? Because that whole project, Death Occurred Last Night, is very movie-based, and your movie references are very interesting. And I was like, I wouldn't put it past, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm big on movies, man. I'm actually a film student. You know what I'm saying? I went to film school and shit.
Right.
So, you know, that's one of the things. Like, before I took a 7-year hiatus from rap. Like, if you look at my Spotify, the last project I dropped before I came back was 2013. Then there's a gap from 2013 to 2021, I think it is. You know what I mean? In that time, I was working on my movie career. You know what I mean? So I had a few scripts, one of which got optioned in Hollywood. It never got made. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't get the budget. But yeah, I wrote short films, I directed stuff, I made documentaries. All within that time, I was like really trying to push on the movie shit. So it's only right, bro, that it would be incorporated into the music. You know what I mean?
What would you say your music was like before you took the hiatus?
Not motivational. Like, I think it was a lot more negative. I think that's been like the main reason why I feel like my shit's connecting now that it wasn't, and it wasn't before. You know what I mean? I feel like before I could always rap, bro. And I mean that in the most non-egotistical way. Like, I always knew I had bars, bro. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I never really crystallized the message that I wanted to tell until this time around. You know what I'm saying? I was kind of just like rapping just to show you that I could rap well before. You know what I'm saying? Whereas now it's like I feel like I'm driven by a purpose. You feel me?
That's awesome.
Did anything like, taking the 7-year hiatus, and you were in film school, was there anything that you learned in film school that you applied to rapping?
I don't know that there's like, I think that it's things that I learned like almost like by proxy that I applied to rapping, like finishing a fucking project. You know what I'm saying? Like, and also learning how to deal with a lot of people. And that was one of my main flaws before, I think. You know what I'm saying? I was not easy to work with. Not that I think I am now, but bro, most of my albums are collaborations. So I've definitely improved in that aspect. You know what I'm saying? I think I still can be a little overbearing creatively sometimes. But working on film, you can't make a film by yourself, bro. You can't make your you can't. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna need a cinematographer. You're gonna need actors. You're gonna need somebody to hold the fucking lights. All that shit. You know what I'm saying? So it opened up like the collaborative process for me and shit, and you know, it helped me realize that like, bro, you're not gonna be able to do this by yourself. So, you know, like work well with people, utilize people, and take advantage of the talent that's around me. You know what I mean? And that's been like the main difference really for me.
Amazing. Yeah, you cutting out unnecessary habits and unnecessary situations, right, is like a big focus because like you're always trying to properly motive push yourself in the right place, right? That there's a mention, it's not on this album, but it's a few albums before, and it's thinking about it all day. There's a sequence where you basically the deal is done. You've got the package and you look at it and you're like, it's a gram short, them's the taxes. And I was thinking about it, I was like, man, every fucking rap album that is like a hardcore rap album would have ended with you bazookaing the whole fam. Like, you know what I mean? Taking a bazooka, clearing out the whole lineage and over a gram, you know what I mean? And like you were able to just be like, no, man, I'm gonna just keep it pushing. Like those are the taxes. I'll make it up. It's cool.
Yeah, and that's again, bro. It's like another. It's a life lesson that I've learned. Like sometimes you have to learn how to take an L gracefully, bro. You know what I mean? And you can't be crying over spilled milk, bro. Like some L's are necessary to get the W. You know what I mean? So it's like you know, like people say adding by subtracting, and that shit don't sound like it makes sense, but it actually does, man. Sometimes you have to subtract. You have to learn how to handle those setbacks, and based on how you handle that shit, you know, is going to determine how you come back around and ultimately succeed. So I think that's just an example of that. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like, bro, it's a gram out of a package. You know what I'm saying? That shit ain't gonna make you or break you. Probably gonna smoke that shit anyway. So you know what I mean? If that's what it is, if I gotta give up the gram to be able to you know, to be comfortable in this space where I'm at right now, if that's, you know, if the landlords are going to be fucking slick with it or whatever and take the little piece for themselves, then, hey, bro, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. No, it's awesome. And the other thing that was cool about the film stuff is the mentions of Kubrick. There's a lot of mentions of Kubrick in this. Death occurred last night, but you know, throughout. And it was interesting to have that as a focus, because I think if a lot of people, you know, were to do their favorite filmmaker, they would go Scorsese or they would go, you know, wherever. But there's something about how visceral Kubrick could make everything. His movies became inescapable.
Right.
Whether you like them or not.
Right.
Okay? And so that as a mission orients you differently a little bit. Does that make sense?
It does, man. And there's something about Kubrick that every movie of his seems like he's chasing perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even that, you know, no one's ever going to make it there. Right. But you could feel the ambition in his movies. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people say that like a common criticism of Kubrick is how his movies are soulless. Right. Like his movies have no feeling. They're you know, they're very cold. I don't see it that way. I don't know that I see it that way. I see a man chasing perfection through film, through his art. You know what I'm saying? And I'm inspired by that, bro. And bro, I think Kubrick's the greatest. Like my favorite film of all time is A Clockwork Orange. And in my opinion, the best, if we're trying to be like objective, I think the best movie of all time is probably 2001. You know what I mean?
Well, and the crazy thing for me, like I started doing a lot of weird research, right, about the Cold War. And I started when I started digging deeper into the think tanks and the Cold War preparation, I was like, holy shit, like Dr. Strangelove's the realest shit ever.
Facts, bro.
Like if you dig in, it's the realest shit ever. Like years ago, before we did this podcast, I had a philosophy podcast. I did an entire podcast on Dr. Strangelove. And it's because there's a lot there. I think it's up there for best comedies ever, for what it achieved. And you know, The Killing is still one of my favorite noir movies. Like,
yeah,
he's got all these classics around the edges that are interesting to check out for people.
Even Eyes Wide Shut, I feel like is a classic, bro. And that's one of those ones that, like, that's one of the first one that people shit on when it comes to Kubrick's filmography. But to me, that movie is so rewatchable, bro. I could throw it on, you know, pretty much once a week type shit, you know?
Crazy movie. Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm still figuring that one out. I'm not mad at it. I always watch it and I'm always like, I feel like I'm almost there. And I think that's what that movie leaves you with. A despair that does not get patched up. You know,
right. For as much as they say that Kubrick is detached from humanity, like those scenes where Tom Cruise is in the cab and he's picturing his wife with the dude, that's some of the realest emotions I've ever seen on film, bro. Like any dude can understand exactly what that guy is going through in that moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He broke up that marriage. You know what I mean? Like
fact.
That's how Scott, that should go. But Kubrick as a focal point and that striving for perfection, like, I think it makes your music cleaner in a way, like that a lot of people are in rap music now, especially the underground, are enjoying a kind of dirty sound that isn't refined, that may not sound good, that may not be mastered well, and you're calling it a choice, but you're really just not paying your engineer kind of thing. And your music is very clean and very pretty. And I think getting better, right? Like, I think the best project is this project. Nothing changed except everything, because I think this is what Pharma gave you was the soundtrack.
Yeah.
He gave you a soundtrack to me. It sounds like the score to what you're talking about.
Pharma's incredible, man.
Yeah.
Pharma's incredible. And I'll tell you, I was already a fan of Pharma when I, you know what I'm saying, when we connected. I was already a fan, right? But when I really saw the brilliance is when I sent back the tracks, you know what I'm saying? And he started like kind of producing around my vocals. And when he sent them back and I heard, you know, the new versions of the tracks, that's when I was like, okay, that's the difference between a beat maker and a producer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Pharma is fucking brilliant, man. The dude is, I mean, you know, you could hear it. You hear it in the work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The guy, he's incredible, man.
Yeah. If you go to Pharma Beats, like Bandcamp, there's like a million projects and it's like a 93-94% hit ratio. It's like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah. He brings the best out of everybody he collaborates with. So I love it.
How did you two get connected?
Bro, I'll be honest, man. I hit him up randomly. You know, Pharma sells beats on Instagram for $100 a pop. Like he'll do like a certain, you know what I'm saying? He'll be like, bro, I got 10 beats this week, $100 a pop. So he posted one of those. I had been following him. He posted one of those and I hit him up just on some random shit, just asking him questions about the beats. Like, yo, are these like for lease? Is it you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the deal? By some miracle or some chance, he was already familiar with my work. I didn't know this, bro. He wasn't following me or anything. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't assume that he was already familiar with me. And he was like, yo, Shoddy, bro, I fuck with your shit. Let's make an album. So, I mean, I'm like, say less at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He sent me a beat pack that same day, actually. And I made it a point. I was like, oh, I got to get him one back at least super quick. You know what I'm saying? Just so he knows that I'm locked in. So it was Henny Face, the song Henny Face on the album. That's the first one I did. And I think it was like the next day after he sent me the beat pack. But I sent him that one back right away just to show him like, okay, we're locking in, bro. Let's do this. You know what I mean?
Henny Face really is like the beating core of the like it's like the soul of the thing. Like this is like, yeah, that's some hip hop shit, you know?
Right.
Like put on a nasty beat, rock your head, and the MC talks to you about everything in the world, you know? I love Henny Face so much. But yeah, we'll talk. Kay, I figured out the meaning of this album and figured it out.
Which today. One?
The nothing changed except everything.
Okay.
So I'm very excited about it. And it was like talking to my son about it because I mentioned in the breakdown, me and him have been sharing YouTube videos. He's getting into hip hop and stuff. And he was like, he was breaking down. He's like, look, man, I like 40 seconds of like barring out and then get into the hook, sing the hook, you know? He's 10. So I'm like, that. I like that you know what you like. He's like, for me, I like that I can relax with someone that I know is going to kill it and keep killing. You know what I mean? Just bar out, go nuts. And I'm always going to learn new stuff from these verses and catch more things. And so I was like, that's why I'm listening to this dude Shoddy. And I put it on. He was digging it. But he's like, is this guy better than Eminem? And I was like, it doesn't matter. Eminem's a battle MC from Detroit who's trying to hit you as hard as he can with each line. And this is a conversation.
Yeah.
This is different. Yeah. This is a conversation. So the meaning, sorry for the buildup. The meaning is... get the thing here because it's on track. It's the first like verse 40 seconds of track 4. I got it here. But that's where I think everything about this comes together. They're like, this is what this is, right? I grew up without a pops, was happy when my uncles visited. It should have been more, but they were busy running businesses. Not bad for a bunch of immigrants. So when I'm at the smoke shop and it's late night, I think about the roadblocks in the life, and I see the show won't stop under these stage lights.
Mm.
And I just played that for him a few times and explained it, like, this is the generational continuity of what this grind is about, you know? Mm. And that's what drives this album. That's what this album is about to me.
I love that those are the bars that you mentioned, bro, honestly, because that is what this album's about. Like, bro, you know, just the fact that I used that picture of my father as the cover, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've had that picture my whole life, bro. You know what I'm saying? But and I've thought of the idea of, like, using a picture of my father for one of the album covers, right? But I never felt like I made the music to justify that until now. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that you bring up those bars, that it perfectly encapsulates the album. That's it. That's exactly what the album's about to me. You know what I'm saying? It's the lineage. It's the, okay, this is where we're at now. This is where my family's at now. Started all the way back in DR. And this is where we're at now, you know, and I'm trying to carry that. I'm trying to carry that work ethic. It was important that I mentioned my uncles, because once my dad passed away, right, that was my uncles now were my male influences. You know what I'm saying? These are the guys, because I grew up in a house full of women, bro. I grew up with my sister, my mom, and my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? I was the only dude in the house. My grandfather was in and out. He was back and forth from DR. But for the most part, I'm the only dude in the house, you know? So my male influences, I'm looking at my uncles now. And these dudes were, you know, all professionals. Bro, my Uncle Lewis came from DR, bro, like, with nothing. And this dude now owns several businesses. Bro, a fucking badass. You know what I'm saying? So, bro, I looked at that. Like, these dudes started from the ground up, and they did it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I felt the need to address that. It's not just, like, the tragedy that happened with my father. It's also, like, you know, the family that I was lucky to have, that family in place, you know, and to give me, like, that guidance, even if it wasn't direct, it was by proxy. It's not like these guys, like, sat me down and was like, you got to do this and this and that. That never happened, you know what I'm saying? But just having them there and being able to observe what they're doing was invaluable.
And did the theme of the album develop organically, like, as you were making songs, like, this theme just started to emerge? Or did you go into it intentionally, like, this is what I'd like to explore?
Bro, I think the way that I create in general is all organic. I don't premeditate anything, bro. I go where the beats take me. And, you know, when, like, the idea of doing a Pharma album first, like, came, like, presented itself, or, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we started working on the shit. Bro, I thought it was going to be 10 tracks just like Henny Face. Just a bunch of rap shit, you know what I'm saying? Just, like, braggadocious hip-hop, basic hip-hop shit. And as he was sending me beats and as I was writing songs, it just ended up being this introspective, just what we got today, you know what I'm saying? It was like, that just happened, bro. I didn't plan it. That's literally what the beats just brought out of me.
Yep. That's awesome. No, it's... And maybe that's the time you took off. Because we always talk about maybe subconscious organization of your thoughts, right? That, like, my theory is that, like, if you've been an active creator and story creator, you know, of any sort for a while, you can freestyle and it won't really be free. You'll eventually organize it.
Right.
Your brain will kind of organize what you're trying to say. And so we talked about that verse, the 40 seconds. And then you think about the title, right? Nothing changed except everything, because hip hop has an aversion to changing, right? There's a never change, right? It's like,
there's a wariness to the new.
Well, because the stuff that you say I should leave behind to fit in is the trauma that is the beating heart of my grind. It's where I came from. I'm never going to leave that behind, right? So you don't want to change who you are, but you also can't grow and get better if you don't change.
Hmm.
So you're like, you're hitting this middle ground where you're like, I'm changing but not changing at the same time. And that's my goal.
Yeah, I like that. I think I've thought about it a few different ways, you know? Like, part of me thinks it's you can't help everything changing around you.
Ooh, I love that.
But your core values should always remain the same. So it's like nothing changed except everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's a great one as well. Yeah. When I came back from the army, I watched a lot of Carlito's Way, because when Carlito got out of jail, everything was fucking different. Mm-hmm. And that's how it felt. Okay, you're like,
yeah,
fuck. You know, so I feel that as well. Okay, how did you feel about the evolution of the projects? The comeback?
I liked it. I thought it was more, like I said, I thought the recent project was more heartfelt. And like it got more personal, because I listened to the latest three projects that you had. So I started with The Goat, and then The Death, and then the final one, or the most recent one. And you could see you kind of opening up a little bit more from each project. And I did kind of wonder that, what was the timeline of the recording of the projects?
Shit. I want to say that Goat Farm, Stigmatic, and Death Occurred Last Night all kind of overlapped with each other as far as like the recording process.
Mm-hmm.
I finished Goat Farm and Stigmatic around the same time. And then towards the tail end of writing Death Occurred Last Night, that's when the opportunity with Pharma opened up. So they all kind of like were happening at the same time. And you know what I'm saying? Like one caught the end of the other one, and this one caught the beginning of that one or whatever. But they all overlapped at some point. But you know, I do agree with what you're saying, but I think the production and, you know, mostly the production, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just follow where the production takes me. So Death Occurred Last Night, and the reason I even had, like, the idea of naming it, like almost like a Grindhouse movie and having that whole, you know, theme behind it is because I feel like the substance on Death Occurred Last Night was a lot more surface level than what I gave you on this Pharma album. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't disagree. It's that's what the beats brought out of me. Death Occurred had a lot of hard hitting, sample heavy, like street shit. So that's kind of what it brought out of me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just like if you listen to Stigmatic, that's, you know, that's a different sound also from what I normally do. And a lot of those songs, like, you, there's no like duplicates of those songs. Like there's no cousin. Those songs, a lot of those songs don't have cousins, you know what I mean? But that's what the beats brought out of me. And literally my only barometer when I'm creating is like, do I like this shit? If I like it, because I've compromised in the past and made music that I don't necessarily like. Like I'm from Miami, bro. So my, like, the first part of my career, you know, I was rapping to like more trappy type shit. Mm-hmm. And I, in my heart, that's not what I like, bro. I grew up listening to Wu-Tang, even though I'm here in Miami. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up listening to that East Coast boom bap shit. So to me, it's like, if I like it, that's the only thing I need. You know what I'm saying? As long as I truly like it and I'm being honest about that, then that's all I need. And then wherever the beat takes me, that's where I go with it. You know?
Amazing. No, that's...
Yeah.
Death Occurred Last Night is my second favorite of the projects. Because, Kay, it's just so fucking imaginative. Like, you know, when you let someone go as crazy as they want, like, it's just fucking great.
Thank you, man.
The first line on Bendega: what happens when a comet hits the earth? Stupid if you think the answer going to be in a verse. Who the fuck would think to form this? Like, that's just such an incredible introduction, you know?
Thank you, man. It's kind of meta. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's
kind of meta, yeah.
It's awesome. And there's just so much. Yeah, in there, like Funkorama 305. Sometimes you got to make them hard decisions because life's a cold bitch. Shout out to Lars the Pippin.
Yeah, that's a level of Pippin, man. That's a level of coldness that I can't even fathom, you know.
And obviously, the one that I was playing for my son all the time was Elon Hardaway.
Okay.
This is going to be the year I get a red man verse. Yo, Doc, how many pounds of headband worth? Crazy. Crazy.
Literally. I miscalculated that one, but it's still going to happen at some point. I still don't got the red man verse, but it's going to happen, bro.
It's awesome. I'm leaving.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite MC, man. That's and bucket list shit.
It's a great way to, like, I was thinking about Redman a lot recently because a lot of the underground music that I'm listening to is a lot more conceptual. There's a lot more concept albums. There's a lot more introspective stuff. And I was thinking, man, is Redman somebody who's going to be lost to newer generations?
Like, it's happening already. It's happening already. It pisses me off. You know what I mean? But like, I feel like he's losing stature among like the younger cats, and it kills me because I'm like, bro, like Redman's first four albums is one of the best runs in history, bro. Like, I'll put that shit against Kendrick's run, whoever, bro, whoever. You know what I'm saying? Like, his first four albums are fucking incredible, and he's an artist that gives you albums too. Like, his shits are like front to back, no skips. He's giving you, you know, interludes and shit, and they're all good too. You know, it's like quality shit. Nah, man. What Red is Man, that's my it's favorite.
Because last week's guest really loved ODB, yep. And you love yep. Redman. So, what is it about Redman that like really resonated with you?
He was the first rapper that I heard, right? That balanced being hardcore, but didn't take himself super serious. Like, he'll goof around too, you know what I'm saying? And that was he, and say off the wall crazy shit. It's the same shit that we'd all liked about Eminem when Eminem first came out, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's you know, the dude is not to be played with, but he still doesn't take himself that serious, you know what I mean? And yeah, that shit made for some of the greatest shit, bro. His skits are fucking legendary, you know what I mean? Like, Superman Lover series, you know, and that's another thing I liked about Redman too is like I said, his ability to put albums together. They always felt like a complete work.
Yeah.
And I've taken a lot from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I treat every album like its own movie in a sense. You know what I mean? And I'm like really, you know, I really try to make it cohesive. And a lot of that comes from Redman.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why. Here's my pitch for the newer generation not leaving, abandoning Redman, right? Is, here's a comparison. You remember when like alt comedy started taking over? And there were dudes in really thick glasses making nerdy references in little rooms, and like it became a big deal. But those comedians couldn't work regular rooms. They had to have their little niche places, right? And that's starting to happen with some of these kind of bedroom artist rappers who are, they're making very personal music, you know, sometimes very off regular time signatures that you kind of have to be an expert to be able to listen to. Mm. You can't play it for anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas who has Redman featured with? Tupac, 8 Ball, right? Like,
right,
you can fit Redman anywhere.
Fact.
Because
Redman Mariah, is ready to go. You got shit. No, not Mariah. J-Lo. You got right. Shit with J-Lo. Like, right. Yeah.
You can fit Redman anywhere the same way Bill Burr can work any club anywhere in the world. Mm. Right? And kill. Like, it's the same. Like, he battle tested. Like, what being a great MC meant to us was you were dope all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, they plugged you in and you were dope.
Yeah, facts. He, bro, that guy embodies the essence of what it is to be an MC, man.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you ever been to a Redman show? You ever seen him perform live?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Bro.
It was crazy.
Like, it was crazy.
Rock the Bells in Massachusetts. It was supposed to be Red and Meth, but Meth canceled, as he does whenever he's in New England. I'll never believe that Meth will play New England.
He's another great live performer too, man.
Yep. Yep. When I get to a bigger city, maybe I'll see him. But Redman show by himself, and I was like, holy shit. That was really when I started doing my Redman research. Yeah. And that's when I really started, because he was kind of tentative to play Dare as a Dark Side, you know? Right. And I was like, okay. And I dug into it, and I was like, this album's insane.
That's my favorite one.
That's my favorite Redman album. And we Sleep Sinatra, everybody that loves that fucking album. And it's like, it's his hell on earth, you know? So like, it's, yeah, but Redman's incredible, and I don't want people to lose that kind of versatility, right? You have bars in this run where, like, sometimes you are talking about, like, you know, the feng shui of your habitat, you know, and what you are, what you're wearing, what's going on. But sometimes you're talking about the misconceptions around the ethnicity of Jesus, right? Like,
right.
Your mind goes where it wants to go, and we follow. And you're always surprising us. And I think that's the number one Redman lesson to me.
Yeah, very free-flowing. Like, my songs, when they have concepts, you know, I do concept songs too. But I always say, like, I feel like even my verses where I'm doing, like, the rappity rap, and what I consider that is just, like, a verse that, it's like a scatterbrain verse, right? It's never only about how I rap better than the next guy. It's always, like, I'm always throwing real-life shit in there. Just things that I care about, you know what I'm saying? Like, all those verses of mine, it's very rarely, like, just 16 bars of, oh, I rap better than you, or, oh, I fuck all your bitches. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's sprinkles of that, but I feel like there's concepts within the verses. So a lot of times I end up not doing, like, quote-unquote concept songs, because I feel like the verses got a lot of conceptual shit in them anyway. And I'm telling you what I want to be telling you, you know what I'm saying? But more like in a loose format.
I absolutely love the way you're talking about, you talk about Destiny. There's like Clocked In, or, you know, no, sorry, Rolling Paper. I don't believe that anything is predestined. That shit'll slow down your reflexes. There's also a line, I think it's later on in Nothing Changed Except Everything, where you're like, you're going to wait for your blessings, and I'm going to jump in and take it. Like,
yeah.
I'm not waiting. So it's really cool. It's really cool way of dressing it, because it's much more meaningful than it would even appear on the surface. Right?
Yeah, and I'm hoping, like, that people are taking some shit away from this as I'm saying it, you know what I mean? I had a homie is the one that even put that idea in my head, because he listened to the shit that I've been making. This is a homie that I used to make music with back in the day. Shout out my homie Lex. And he was like, bro, that's the difference now is the reaction that the listener gets when he's hearing your shit. Because before, I'm listening to shoddy shit and you're kind of shitting on me as the listener, you know what I'm saying? Like, shoddy's kind of shitting on me, you know what I'm saying? Now I feel like I'm retaining value from what you're saying, you know what I mean? And that's been, like, I think the main difference, bro. I'm trying to, or maybe I'm not just trying, but, like, naturally I'm just dropping jewels, in the sense of, like, I'm talking about my life experiences, wins and losses, and trying to figure out what it's all been about, you know what I mean? And that's kind of, like, the best way I could describe my shit, because it's me, I'm just trying to figure all this shit out, bro. All this shit that's happened to me, all the, you know, all the media I've consumed, all the people I've met, all that shit. And I'm trying to answer the question, bro. What's all this shit been about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a question. When you were on your hiatus, were you rapping? Were you still rapping? Now, so when you came back, describe that process. Like, when, I guess, when, I don't know if you write down the verses. So when you first picked up the pen to start rapping again, what was that process like to get back into, I guess, the groove of it all?
Bro, if you go back, you know, after this interview and listen to the song Clock Tower, it's on Mosvich 1. So it's the first song I wrote in 8 years, bro. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the first words on that song is, maybe I'm not mature enough to make a classic. That's literally the first thing that I said. You know what I mean? So me coming back into the shit started with the introspective shit. I was like, okay, bro, if I'm going to do this, I have to be 100% real about where I'm at in life. Because, bro, it got to a point, I didn't rap for 1 year. Then it was 2 years. Then it was 3 years. When I got to like 4 years of not rapping, I already had no connection to what the fuck would I even talk about? You know what I'm saying? I had no connection whatsoever to that shit anymore, bro. It had already been 5-6 years. So by the time I came back, that was the only way that I could come back. I was like, bro, I just gotta just bear my soul on this shit, because that's really at this point, that's all I got left.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was so disconnected with like hip hop, like the rap shit. I was like, okay, the best thing that I could do right now is just be real. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And that those bars, maybe I ain't mature enough to make a classic, started this whole journey. You know what I mean? And it's almost like, you know, I'm trying to prove myself wrong now. And I'm trying to make classics, you know?
And you're still like, you're still having that conversation with yourself. Because like on Henny Face, you say, they say the way you write, you should be making millions. I said, you probably write, but how you market realness? So there's still like, I identified that bar because I was like, he's saying the problem you've identified is real, but none of us know the solution. You know, and like, I'm not going to pretend like I have this down. I don't know either.
Right. Right. And it's, you know, me being the guy that like, I'm like my own label too. You know, I do all the shit. I do all the media outreach. I do, you know, the videos, everything. You know what I'm saying? I act as a label too. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think about. Like, how the fuck do I market this shit, bro? This is my real life. How do I market an album with a picture of my dad on the cover, bro? Like, you know what I'm saying? What do you, you know, something like Death Occurred Last Night is a little easier to market because it's pulpy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just threw a bunch of like fucking exploitation movies and gave it that little sauce or whatever. And that was a little easier to market. You know what I'm saying? But like something like this, how do you market realness, bro?
Right.
You know, and it's like you kind of got to let the music do what it do at this point.
Yeah, Death Occurred Last Night is a rap album about movies, and nothing changed except everything is your movie.
Mm. It's a good way to put it.
And that's the cool part is like you're starting to really put the camera where you want it, you know, and tell your story, which I think is awesome. It's we always talk about growth and development here. You know what I mean? Charting growth and development. And you can just clearly see it in that progression to me. Man, that you got a line on this last song, Kvorka. I started taking accountability. You can never be balanced without stability.
Word.
It's just like you talked about, like you it seems like you're having a conversation with the audience.
And with myself.
Right. And
with myself.
That's where you start surprising yourself as a creative person, where you like, you finish it, you listen to it, and you're like, damn, I didn't even know that about myself. You know?
Yeah.
Because you're having that conversation and learning things.
I'll tell you, like, the first bars that you mentioned, the ones about my uncles running the businesses, that's the first time I've formulated those thoughts in my head. It was like writing those rhymes, you know what I'm saying? Like just reaching back into those feelings and shit from back then and trying to encapsulate everything. Some of these rhymes, bro, that's the first time I've even thought of these concepts. And they just happen to rhyme, you know what I'm saying? But right. It's like, you know, the fact that I was watching my uncles run these businesses and them kind of like being my new father figures, these are not thoughts that I had like formulated to myself until I like sat down to write the rhymes and shit. So it's kind of cool that you say that, you know what I mean? Cause it is, it's what I'm doing. I'm having a conversation with myself and I'm trying to figure this life thing out, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. So I dug that. Kay, did you have any favorite songs on this thing?
This thing, I really loved
Sorry, let me get. Because I liked it because it was very cinematic to me. So I enjoyed just putting it on and pressing play. But let's see. Off of Death Occurred Last Night, I really did like that middle section. The Kansas City Shuffle, Quinto Chino, Snow on Bird Road, and then Fear Factor.
So shout out to Scam and shout out to Salazar.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Scam. Scam sounds awesome.
It's my guy.
Scam's got a crazy flow, always saying cool stuff. I really enjoyed hearing Scam, and I really enjoyed the relationship you two have. Yeah. How did that rap relationship start?
Scam and I met a long time ago, bro. Like my first incarnation as a rapper, when I was part of a group called ID4. Mm-hmm. He was part of a group called Old World Disorder. You know, they're kind of famous for the song 365 with Eminem. Okay. I believe it was the homie Dynast that kind of like put us together, and we made a song way back then, bro. I'm talking, I don't even want to age myself, but a long time ago, you know what I'm saying? And we kind of lost touch and shit like that. But look, to give you context, like the first time I ever heard Eminem, it was on a song with Scam. So like I've been listening to Scam since before I met him, bro. You know what I'm saying? So like that guy is a fucking legend of like a hip hop legend in Miami, because he was doing the boom bap shit and in the Raucous era. You know what I'm saying? Which to me is like the golden age of the underground, like Punching Words, Eminem, sure. You know what I'm saying? Like Brooklyn Act, all that shit. He was the only Miami guy in there, bro. So bro, Scam's a fucking legend, bro. So anyway, we reconnected through my man Garcia, who's a really dope video director. You know what I mean? He's done videos for fucking Busta Rhymes, all kind of crazy shit, bro. And yeah, man, Scam was kind of like not even doing rap at the time. And these are his words, you know what I'm saying? But he was like, he's like, yo, Shoddy, bro, like you put the battery in my back to get back into this rap shit. So that to me, that's a trophy unto itself, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Scam is already somebody that I've always been inspired by. So if I could inspire a guy like that to pick up the pen again, and that's why I make it a point to put him on all my projects. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, bro, whenever I got a project, yo, Scam, I need you on this one. You know what I mean? I always give him that call.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it's to be able to really get the best out of other people is an incredible thing, right? When you start, you talked about the shift between kind of, you know, having your own, concertina wired, perimeter, and starting to network out and interact with people. And once you get good at interacting, navigating that space, you start to like make other people's careers and lives better. Mm. And that's a hell of a situation. That's an incredible reward. Have you started feeling that?
I mean, look, just in this interview, the fact that you can pinpoint those certain bars and that you can take something away from that, mm-hmm. like that's the prize for me. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I don't know. Like that's what I've been feeling.
Yep.
That my shit is actually, on a micro level, but it's providing value to people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like my man, Planta Power, bro, I just met this guy like a few months ago. You know what I'm saying? He came to my smoke shop during an event. He's homeboys with my boy Tropic. You know what I'm saying? But I was on IG Live yesterday and he hopped on the live and just, went on this big rant about how, you know what I'm saying? The music and just like the shit that I've been doing, how much it inspires him and motivates him. Bro, like I said, that right there, that's my currency.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like that's the prize to me, bro. So in that sense, yeah, I have felt it. I've definitely felt it in a way that I never felt it before. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's you're finally leaving your signature everywhere, like you got your signature and you're leaving it. And this is your art. This isn't just good hip hop. This is your art now. Like, this is your shit. And nobody could give me, you know, press two but you. You know?
That's a fact.
Like, that's like, and by the way, Press Two is a valuable song, man. To me, it's a concept song that has a real concept to it.
Mm.
And it's also light. It's a fun inside joke that's valuable and is like still about race in this country, you know? And so
yeah.
It's dope. It's really, you needed that. You needed that breather, you know?
And again, it's like not overthinking the shit. That's actually something that happened to me in real life that inspired that song. And even in the moment, despite the fact that we're all in a fucking paddy wagon and we're about to go to jail, you know what I'm saying? That was a funny ass moment. And we all like shared a laugh inside that paddy wagon, you know what I'm saying? And it was me, and I was the only Hispanic dude in there, you know what I'm saying? And there was a little bit of tension in there.
Yeah.
Until homie said that. And when homie said that, it was like, you know, it kind of lightened the air a little bit.
That's awesome. Those are the stories that just really, to me, translate really well. Kay, did you have any favorites off Nothing Changed Except Everything?
I liked the openers, actually. I liked the opening and the close.
Man.
So talk about the, like, the structure. Like, how was that album structured?
I feel like you guys are catching, like, this. I'm enjoying this interview because you guys are catching all the shit that I kind of did, like, deliberately. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, the open and the close, it was very deliberate. I wanted to bookend the album. You know, like, when I made the opening, I knew that was going to be the opening to the album. And when I made Kavorka, I knew that was going to be the close. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just like the minute I recorded it. And yeah, bro, I felt like those two songs are very related. Yeah, it was important to me to bookend the album with those songs. So I'm glad you caught that for sure.
Spam sandwiches, you go from like a 7-year-old kid to like, you know, all through the lifespan in that minute and 50 seconds. Like, that's the journey.
Yeah, that fucking beat.
Yeah.
Like, man, that's unlike anything I've ever rapped to. You know what I'm saying? So that was one of those that I wrote it pretty quickly. You know what I'm saying? And I had no idea what I was going to write when I sat down to write it. And that's just what came out, you know?
That's what, like, when I heard that, I was like, I just threw up my hands and was like, did Pharma give him the Godfather soundtrack?
That's some, yeah, man. For real. That's some Ennio Morricone type shit.
Right? You're like, this is fucking unbelievable. Pharma's like that. But I think you're right, Kay. Man, maybe the first 4 or 5 songs on this are
just... It's great opening.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Crazy.
Describe the collaboration. Like, you mentioned earlier in the interview, but like coming back to rap, you learned the importance of collaboration. How did you two collaborate on this project?
Pharma is great to collaborate because he gives you the input, but very sparingly. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just kind of just like, let me do my thing. And then he like added the sauce where it needed to be added, but it never felt like he was imposing at anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was very, very, very natural, bro. And he kind of just like, let me do my, bro, do what you do. You know what I'm saying? And then once I sent him the tracks back, then he did his thing and it was all kind of unspoken. He let me do what I do. I sent him the tracks. I let him do what he did. And that's exactly how we kept. I didn't do any re-editing. Once he sent it back to me, I was like, okay, I gave you my vision for the shit. Now you put your stamp on it, your vision. That's exactly how I put it out. You know what I'm saying? So it was Bro, incredibly easy to collaborate with him, bro.
Is that like a growth maturity thing? Like, would you have done that early in your career, or are you just at that phase in your life where you're like, okay, man, like, I trust you?
Well, I mean, you look, somebody like Pharma already came with like a certain level of reverence and respect from me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know that that would have been any different. But that being said, yeah, I'm a way better collaborator now than I used to be. And all my albums are collaborations, bro. All my albums are one producer albums, with the exception of Death Occurred Last Night. You know what I mean? Yeah, so, bro, the collaborating is what I do at this point. But yeah, someone like Pharma, I feel like I would have let him rock regardless, man, because, you know what I'm saying? I just got a lot of respect for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
How has the response been on the album? How have people been? Does it feel different?
In a sense, it does. In a sense, it does. You know what I mean? Like, you know, in Miami, bro, like, the love in Miami has been fucking incredible the last couple years, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like I've never felt before. And I've been a part of this hip hop scene for a long time down here. You know what I mean? The difference with the Pharma album is outside of Miami, I feel like. You know, I feel like people were tapping in that weren't tapping in before. I could feel that my name is in the ether. You know what I'm saying? Like, I, you know what I'm saying? I've heard like people talk about me at this point, you know, which is new to me. You feel me? But it feels different in the sense, but you know, it's also the Pharma album, but I think it's a cumulative effect too, bro. Like, we've been putting a lot of work in these last couple years, you know, and
last year alone. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And each project, I think, builds on the one before it. Absolutely. So I appreciate every part of that journey. Bro, Goat Farm might still be my favorite album, to be honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, I saw the sweatshirt. I love that sweatshirt.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Goat Farm, you know what I mean? We got a new merch drop coming this Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Love it, man.
Yeah, that might be one of my favorite albums. And that's one of the ones, like, Goat Farm, if you listen to Goat Farm, there's some personal shit in there too.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And that's kind of where I started cracking it open a little bit, like cracking that open, you know what I mean? So I think on this Pharma album, I'm just building on that.
Yeah, Goat Farm is all, it almost feels like a training montage of you getting hey. Back to who you want to be. Like,
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, one of those Rocky montage sequences, you know, running on the beach and all that shit. Like, and so Goat Talk is incredibly valuable. I would say everybody should like go to your Bandcamp and run everything from 2023 till now and just get up to speed with what we're talking about, because that shit is great. It's a real progression. Yeah. And I couldn't be happier that we were able to chop it up. It was funny because when you emailed me and were like, you should take a look at this, I was like, oh, it's Pharma, so yes, I will. Like,
that's the Pharma effect. That's
I
the
will
Pharma
definitely
effect. I can't be mad
Pharma,
at it.
So yeah, it's one of those things. Did you have any, did Pharma ever come to you about the lyrical content and go like, holy shit, you really dug in there? Or like, you know?
No, Pharma's had nothing but great things to say, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's had nothing but great things to say. He said on a comment on one of the posts that this is one of his favorite albums that he's worked on. And that shit to me, bro, you know what I'm saying? It's, like, say less, bro. You don't got to say nothing else after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a, like, yeah, there's, to me, it's not that we talked about kind of the patience, the, you know, the need to abide by your own plan and be hungry, but there's also just a real swag to this thing where you're
that's
just
Miami.
Yeah,
that's Miami, brother.
Really Miami kind of,
yeah. Can you give, like, cause we haven't, I don't think we've ever talked to a Miami rapper. Give, like, for people who are not familiar with the scene, what's the Miami music scene like? Or community.
That's a tough question. So, like,
mm-hmm.
the Miami hip hop community, which is mm-hmm. a lot of the people that I interact with, is incredibly diverse and incredibly active. You know what I'm saying? Now, is it plugged in to the Miami mainstream community? Like, there are the main, you know, non-hip hop people from Miami coming to watch these hip hop shows? For the most part, no. But the Miami hip hop scene in itself, I think, is one of the strongest in the country. Mm. Like, the amount of talent out here and the diversity in the talent, mm. right? Like, you see other hip hop scenes from around the country, which is all, this is what I'm about to say, is also dope, you know what I'm saying? But you'll see, like, a region has, like, a sound, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like the Buffalo artists kind of have a sound, you know what I'm yes. saying? And, yeah. and you'll see that from, like, certain regions. This hip-hop scene down here, bro, it's all over the place mm-hmm. in a beautiful way, you know what I'm saying? It's not, like, it's not a bunch of shoddies, just like it's not a bunch of Money Mowglis and it's not a bunch of DUIs. It's like one of ones, bro. It's a bunch of one of ones. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, bro, it's super dope and super inspiring, bro. Like, the Miami hip hop scene, had it not been for the Miami hip hop scene, I wouldn't probably be rapping right now. Like, I wouldn't have come back into rapping because that was, at first, that was like the only audience I even cared about. I didn't know about this underground shit, bro. Like, I didn't know this greater underground movement existed. I knew about the Griseldas and Rock Marcies, and that's what I considered underground. But I didn't realize there was a whole, like, underground scene kind of, like, beneath that layer, you know what I mean? That, yep, that's been, yep. like, people been putting out records and all that shit. I didn't know none of that shit existed, bro. Mm. So what fed me was the Miami hip-hop scene. Those are the artists I knew. Those were, like, the underground artists I knew is the dudes from out here, you know what I mean? So, bro, I'm eternally grateful for the scene here, bro. It's super strong. We got mad talent out here, you know what I'm saying? And with all my projects, I try to put Miami artists on them, you know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely. No, I'm with it. The you know, we've definitely talked about it and about the just the fluidity of this thing. Do you Kay, do you have anything else, or do you want to go to recommendation corner?
Let's go. Man, just keep up. Like, we're excited to see where you go.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future. There's a bunch of people who, I would love to see you work with. So we'll see how it turns out.
Appreciate that, man.
But let's go to recommendation corner. Recommend some music we've been listening to. Man, so much. We'll start out with some like. Man, some stuff from Argentina. Agustin Pereira Lucena. I can't pronounce anything, but it is that's the name of the album. That's the artist.
Self-titled album.
Yeah, Agustin, and then the middle name Pereyra, last name Lucena. This is. Like bossa nova, but it has. There was a period K where white people were doing bossa nova a lot,
yeah,
and they took all the warmth out of it. It was very cold and dead inside. NPR bossa nova, and like this is like this guy's a guitar player, and this is beautiful. There's beautiful guitar in this. It is gorgeous. So definitely. Check that out. I love this. It's just beautifully meditative because of the guitar playing is just next level. On the hip hop side, okay, if you haven't heard it, Reef the Lost Cause has a new album called The Triumphant. Reef is like one of those heart of the region guys who like when you say Philly hip hop, Reef is one of the first people I think of. And he's a dad now and he's older and he's mature. And this is his coming to grips with where things are and presenting this kind of image of like a little bit of positivity. Like we need to stop constantly portraying this negative shit or we'll never get out of it. So it's a beautiful record. Excited to listen to it more. The third one is by Gang PTP. Kay, have you heard about this?
No, what did he release?
Yo, he released a compilation called Resist Colonial Power by Any Means Necessary. Gang does not play, dude. And this, I haven't gotten through it all. It is 94 songs.
Oh, wow.
And all of the proceeds go to support Haiti and Gaza.
Oh.
Yeah. Yatta's on here. Big Flowers is on here. Yeji's on here. Just all kinds of stuff. There's dub music on it. Like, it just, yeah, Lucid's on it. Everything's on it, you know? Because he's gang. And he, so, what, you know, I'm always continually surprised and delighted by how gang pushes himself. And so this has been no exception. He's already raised over $5,500 for these causes. So through this album. So that's dope. That's really cool. Yeah. Shoddy, what are you bumping?
Beats. Beats. That's about it. Now, I'm gonna give you some local guys.
Oh, hit me.
So, anything Money Mowgli, anything he releases, he just dropped an album with Joey DeSilva, another hometown rapper, called Crowbars. The album's called Crowbars. Bangers, bunch of bangers. Another dope album that I've been listening to is Big J. What Would Jay Do? Another local cat. Really nice with it. Marlon on the beats. Super nice with it. And bro, aside from that, I've just been listening to beats, man. I'll be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? I've been listening to beats and trying to get these fucking albums out, bro. I got a lot of plans, a lot of shit to complete this year, but definitely some good surprises coming too.
And how do you spell Mowgli? Is it M-O-W or
M-O-G-L-Y. Money Mowgli.
Just like
he's on Vinaigrette. He's on the Pharma album.
Right,
he's
right,
on,
right.
On the Vinaigrette track. Yeah.
Crowbars, Crowbars, one word. Okay.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
I will check that. I'm gonna add that to my list. 12 songs. I dig this. This is a great, great cover. Yep.
It's a banger, bro. It's a banger. Both of them dudes could rap.
Rap. I love that. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things is, like, local scenes always matter, and I always want to try and stay as connected to anything dope happening anywhere. So if you hear you just love someone else's album, hit me, email me. I'm all for that. If it's dope, I'll rep it. So, Kay, what are you listening to?
I actually got into Everybody Can't Go by Benny the Butcher.
Benny the Butcher.
Yeah.
That's a controversial one. People have been arguing about it.
Mm.
How do you feel? You like it?
I like it. I mean, because I heard a couple songs. Like, I got, as I told you, I got Sirius SXM. And so they've been playing, like, the singles. And I really, the first song I heard was the song, I think, Big Dog with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
And then I just really, like, I really liked it. So I heard the second single. And so I was like, okay, let me check this out.
Yeah. Wayne killed that shit. Wayne needs the new Boom Bap album. We need to get that going.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll get Wayne on Alchemist beats.
Yep. Wayne Mighty Healthy, whatever, you know, we can get it done. But yeah, I think it's the other one. Kay, have you seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Have you been digging in that?
That's what that wasn't going to be my other recommendation. I've been watching. I'm halfway through that.
It's a good ass show. I like that show. I was worried at first because I was like, this is a little bit of a, I wasn't understanding the thing, but when I saw Hero was involved, who did all the Atlanta shit, I was like,
right.
If it's Hero and Glover, then I'm in. You know? Yeah.
I mean, it grew like the first, I would say for those watching, the first episode, it starts out kind of slow and then it finds its groove, kind of like Atlanta in a lot of ways, the show.
Well, but that, because it's about the relationship of those two characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got to build that. They've got to be patient. I hate when shows kind of fast forward through the first episode to get to the plot. Because what happens is episode 10, episode 13, they're out of gas.
Right. That's
the point. The pacing is all fucked up. So I love the pacing so far. It's been real patient. Real
yeah. Good.
So I fuck with that. Yeah. That's anything you want to recommend on the, you know, other media side outside of hip hop, Shotty? Anything you've been watching?
I've been watching the Griselda show, but I'm it's a good show. Like, if I didn't know anything about Griselda, but I've read so many books and watched so many documentaries, and I'm not sure that it's like some of the inaccuracies are kind of bothering me.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it's a well-made show, and mm-hmm. Sofia Vergara is killing it. That's her name, right? Sofia Vergara.
Yeah,
but he's killing it.
I was,
No, that's about it.
I had that happen to me with the Wu-Tang show. I was like, I was just getting to a place where I could enjoy it. And then I read Raekwon's book and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Raekwon's book is crazy. So
I did want to ask, as a film, like as a film student, what were the movies, like what movies should I suggest? Because we had another guest who was in the film, who went to film school as well. He suggested, what did he say? The Truman Show. This was a couple weeks ago, and I ended up watching that. I really loved it. So you have any movie recommendations?
What kind of movies do you like? First of all, like, what's your favorite movie?
I'm open to try anything. I mean, Clockwork Orange that's a little bit intense, but anything else, but like not Clockwork Orange, I wouldn't be able to handle that.
So have you done the whole Tarantino filmography?
Yeah, I've done Tarantino, yeah.
Okay, so I would
any
say
like hidden gems or underrated films that...
Very Bad Things is a great movie. I'll say that. It's a dark comedy, you know what I mean?
Very Bad Things.
Great movie, though. I love the tone of it. Gangster Number One is like an obscure British crime film with Paul Bettany. He plays whoever. He's in the MCU. He plays one of those guys in the MCU. But that's a cool movie, Gangster Number One. But those are a little extreme, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would say maybe, like, if you haven't checked out, like, early Scorsese, like Mean Streets, Who's That Knocking at My Door, that type of shit.
Okay.
Those are worth watching, you know? And even Color of Money and like, movies like that, you know? I'm also big on, like, I love Sergio Leone movies.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Fistful of Dollars. I love that shit.
Yeah. The Weird Gems.
So it depends. It's like, for me to, that's why I try to get, like, some context on, like, what kind of movies you like, because I could go all over the place with
yeah. The ones I thought of when he said this were, like, The Weird Gems that I discovered. I don't know why I thought, was, like, thinking of Destiny of a Man from 1959, like, Sergei Bondarchuk. It's real. It was, like, a movie they made, like, during the Cold War, but never got to release until, like, after, like, the dude had died, or like Stalin died, and then they could actually release it. It's one of the most Russian movies I've ever seen, like, it's just about that kind of tortured life of war, just being torn by war, and like that shit, like, that's important. And to your point, there's a lot of Americans who don't understand how dope Japanese gangster movies are.
Yeah.
So, like, Seijun Suzuki is who I would, like, you look up Seijun Suzuki and just start watching those movies. Like, those movies are fucking great.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to look that up.
Seijun Suzuki, it's got some crazy shit. What is that fucking black and white shit? Branded to Kill. It's black and white. It's about, like, the number five assassin in, like, Japan, and he drives him nuts that he's number five, and so he's trying to kill the rest of the people who are ahead of him.
I love it. I already like it.
Yeah, it's just dope. But yeah, thank you so much for being a part of this. The last note I wanted to say is, very excited. We're getting close to episode 200, and starting to organize that shit. It's going to be a Dipset celebration where we just share Dipset memories. It will be less of an analysis thing I envision it more like an AA meeting where we're just like sharing Dipset hangover stories. And I've got four people committed already. I'm trying to make it a party, you know? So I'm really excited about it. And yeah, people that hear this and want to be a part of it, reach out, let me know. But thank you, Shoddy. I'm really happy that we were able to dig into your work, that I was able to share your work with my son to show him that there's different kinds of ways to make hip hop. And not everybody sounds like these, you know, people that you will see on TikTok or whatever. So it's really good. And I appreciate what you've done.
No, I appreciate you guys sharing the platform, bro. And more than that, I appreciate your attention to detail. Yeah. Like, this has been really enjoyable for me because it's like when you talk to somebody that gets it, it just makes it that much better. You know what I'm saying? So, nah, man, like, big shout to y'all. Thank you for sharing your platform with me. Thank you for really, really listening to the music. And yeah, man, shout to you guys.
Amazing. Thank you. What will tomorrow bring?